According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. The purport in English is in one long paragraph. I'll read about half of it, and then you can read that section in Tamil, then I'll read the second half. And then you can read the second half in Tamil also. The Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born of Him. Everything is sustained by Him. And everything after annihilation rests in Him. Anyone recognize this? This original Sanskrit of this? Taittiriya Upanishad. Yatova imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayatyapi sangvishanti tadvijigyasva tadbrameti. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order, beginning with the intelligent class of men, technically called brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called the kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile men, called the vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the shudras, or laborer class, are situated in the ignorant mode of material nature. Okay, that's a, should be a paragraph there. Should be a paragraph break. In spite of his creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions because he is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. Go ahead.
ஏனெனில் அவர் மனித சமுதாயத்தின் கட்டுண்ட ஆத்மாக்களில் ஒருவர் அல்ல. மனித சமுதாயம் மிருக சமுதாயத்தை போன்றது. ஆனால் மிருக நிலையிலிருந்து மனிதரை உயர்த்தி அவர்களிடம் கிருஷ்ண உணர்வை முறையாக வளர்ப்பதற்காக மேற்கூறிய பிரிவுகள் பகவானால் படைக்கப்பட்டுள்ளன.
The tendency of a particular man toward work is determined by the modes of material nature which he has acquired. Such symptoms of life, according to the different modes of material nature, are described in the 18th chapter of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even the brahmanas. Although brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, most of them approach only the impersonal Brahman, manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, a Vaishnava. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to the system of the four divisions of human society, a person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all divisions of human society, whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species.
அவ்வாறு இருப்பினும் கிருஷ்ணோனரில் இருப்பவர் ராவணனை விட உயர்ந்தவன் ஆவான். ராவணர் என்று அழைக்கப்படுவோர் பரமபூர்ண உண்மையான பிரம்மனை அறிந்திருக்க வேண்டும் என்ற போதிலும் அவர் இவர்கள் பெரும்பாலோர் பகவான் ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணன் அறிவு பிரம்மனையே நாடுகின்றனர். ஆனால் பிரம்மனின் எல்லைக்குட்பட்ட ஞானத்தை கடந்து பரமபுருஷ பகவான கிருஷ்ணரை பற்றிய ஞானத்தை அடைந்தவர் கிருஷ்ண உணர்வில் உள்ளவர் அல்லது வைஷ்ணவர் என்று அழைக்கப்படுகிறார். கிருஷ்ண உணர்வு என்பது ராமர், நரசிம்மர், வராகர் போன்ற சுய விரிவங்களை பற்றிய அறிவையும் உள்ளடக்கியதாகும். கிருஷ்ணர் மனித சமுதாயத்தின் நான்கு பிரிவுகளுக்கு அப்பாற்பட்டவர் என்பதால் கிருஷ்ண உணர்வில் இருப்பவனும் மனித சமுதாயத்தின் எல்லா பிரிவுகளுக்கும் சமூகம், நாடு அல்லது இனம் என்று எப்படி பிரித்தாலும் அதற்கு அப்பாற்பட்டவனாவான்.
This is an easy enough point to understand. That different people have different propensities and attitudes. Therefore, some people naturally gravitate toward and are suitable for being intellectuals, priests.
அதனால பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா ஒரு சில குறிப்பிட்ட மக்கள் இயற்கையாகவே புத்திசாலிகளாக செயல்படுறதுக்கும் ஒரு பூஜாரிகளாக செயல்படுறதுக்கும் தகுதி உடையவர்களாம்.
Some natural leaders.
சில இயற்கையாகவே தலைவர் பதவியை தாங்கி செயல்படுறாங்க.
There are, you can, in the modern age there are leadership training courses.
நவீன காலத்துல பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா
So we read in Mahabharata about leadership training courses also. That was Dronacharya training the Pandavas, the Kauravas, his own son Ashwatthama in the martial arts. But he was training Kshatriya boys with the exception of Ashwatthama, who is his own son. When Ekalavya wanted to be his disciple, then he, that was not allowed. Because he was not fit. Even Karna, he is described in Gita and throughout Mahabharata as Sutaputra, the son of a chariot driver. Actually, he was the son of Suryadev via Kunti. So he was naturally a Kshatriya. In terms of his propensity. But his mentality, he was not suitable to be a leader of people because he was of wicked mentality. Same with Duryodhana, Kshatriya stock, but bad mentality. And some people, they will naturally, they will be Vaishyas. Whether they're having huge business or whether they're selling samosas door to door, they're business type person. They won't go for service. And others go for service, that's all. Nowadays we find many young men and young girls also from Brahmin families in South India very proudly saying, I'm working for some multinational corporation. Means they're Shudra, that's all. Those who are Vaishnava class, they will prefer to sell samosas door to door than have some bell paying job. Now here importantly we find, as Srila Prabhupada would often emphasize, guna karma vibhagasha. They're divided according to quality and what they actually do. We find throughout Shastra that is generally by birth. And that is a normal thing, because by the arrangement of that is karmana daivane trena jantar deho papateye, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the demigods, a person gets a particular kind of body according to their previous karmas. So someone who is suitable for or has developed that in previous life, that kind of mentality, according to the mentality and his karmas, he will get born in human life in Brahmana family, Kshatriya family, Vaishya family, Shudra family, or lower, which is not really human at all. And growing up in that atmosphere by acculturation also, he will absorb the kind of mentality. It's a different culture, Vaishya family and Brahmana family, it's a different mentality altogether. Vaishya just means all I can think of is money. They may use the money for charitable purposes, but money, 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 money. That's what they're
thinking.
As a real Brahmana, they're not concerned about that at all. But it's not fixed by birth. That's why we find throughout Shastra also that people born in one family, they may take up a different kind of occupation. So although it's a simple point to understand, but it's much misunderstood. And it has become much misused. And that made the caste system. Actually, the English word caste, it's different to Jati is all right, but then the what they call the caste system, that's a specific English term that came in. which is a perversion of the old Varna Jati system. So caste, this specific word means the idea whether with fixed, something fixed like that. I guess the jatis are also pretty fixed. You don't, when you're born in one, that's it, fixed. But the idea of varna given by Krishna here is something quite different. And because the spirit of cooperation in service of Krishna was lost, then it became an exploitive system. The original system, it's works nicely on cooperation. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they are higher, but they all have to work together. When the higher position is taken for exploitation, then it becomes oppressive. When the original purpose is lost, then all kinds of atrocities can come out. So the British, when they were in India, they wanted they were to dismantle the caste system. They criticized this as being very bad. Although previously in Europe they had something similar also. But it broke down gradually with the Industrial Revolution and all of this. In Russia, up until prior to the Bolshevik Revolution, right up until the 20th century, there was the aristocrats and the serfs. What were they called? Famous word comes in English, but I can't remember. And there were the kulaks. They were the vaishya class, I guess you could call. They were the aristocrats, and then there were the peasants. So that was going on right until, when was that? 1918, the Bolshevik Revolution. 1917, yeah. So when the spiritual purpose is lost, then it simply becomes oppressive and unfair. And therefore, different systems of governance have been introduced throughout the world with the idea of equality. Democracy is supposed to give freedom of opportunity. And socialism is meant to enforce that everyone is at the same level. The French Revolution was against the oppression of the aristocratic class, the noblemen and the church. They were together in oppressing the poorer class of people.
French
So that was brought in under the slogan Egalite, Liberte, Fraternite. You understand that? It's almost the same as English. Egalite means egalitarianism. Equality, everyone should be equal. Liberté. And fraternité, which means fraternity, brotherhood. Although it brought in the most horrible period of European history, there's just slaughter, nasty slaughter of the French people killing each other, different factions. And total chaos in society, which was resolved by Napoleon coming in, and instead of having the French fight each other and kill each other, he organized them all together and they went and fought and killed people all over Europe. Including Russia, of course. So, democracy is supposed to be equal opportunity for all. But what happens, those who are more crafty, they just take control. So the people are supposed to vote for different governments, but whoever comes to power is controlled by big business corporations. Just like you might have wondered why the Indian government is so much pushing to have direct foreign investment in retail. Why, what's the advantage for India? Why are they so enthusiastic to do this? Then it was revealed that Walmart, who are the main ones who want to come in, they've invested 350 crores, something like that, in lobbying the American politicians to lobby the Indian politicians. Lobby means, okay, Walmart gave me this much, you take some of it also. That's what it means, obviously. Money, money power. So governments, the government of a major nation like India is subordinate to business interests. They're throwing people off their ancestral land, forcibly taking them out, so the big businesses can come in and build huge factories. So it's supposed to be equal opportunity. But those who have more money, they have more equal rights. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
So
people, they're living on the land, and the generations back, they're living on the same land, all of a sudden, you have to go. No choice. So, where's the equality? In socialism, it was supposed to be everyone is equal. And in the USSR and Eastern Europe, mostly people lived at more or less the same standard of living previously, because there was nothing to buy, so everyone, they all lived in little apartments and there's nothing to buy, so they all had the same standard of living. And they'd be paid lots of money, but it was useless because they couldn't buy anything with it. There's nothing at the shops. And you'd see, I saw a huge long line of people. They're lining up to buy soap or something like this. They've got money, but there's not enough soap or bread or whatever.
So.
So everyone is equal. Of course, the leaders of the Communist Party, they have little more facility than others. Just like it was said that Comrade Brezhnev had, how many sports cars did he have? He had dozens of sports, maybe it didn't come out in the Russian press, but he had dozens of sports cars. Sports cars are very expensive. Brezhnev, he was the head of the Soviet Union for 40 years, something like that? 25. Only 20 years. Is that all? Seemed like a long time. Only 20 years. Yeah, no one had a car, only the taxi drivers. Used to be Moscow. Moscow in the 1980s was very peaceful. You could walk around the streets. There are no cars, hardly any cars at all. So the idea of having equality, it's a nice idea, but it doesn't work. There's always hierarchy in human society. Not only in human society, you'll find even the dogs who are always barking out here on the street, you'll find one among them is considered the biggest dog. The cows, if you get all the cows together, one, she's the queen. Everyone knows it. She has to, what she says, that is there. Chickens, if you don't crush them up in poultry, what do they call them, hatcheries, then they, if they're wandering around in the farm, in the land, then when some food is thrown, the number one chicken, they have to go first. And then number two, it's called pecking order. In English, there's a term for that, pecking order. First, what number one chicken, after that number starts, then only number two can start, then number three can start. They have their own hierarchy.
கூட்டுல வச்சு அடைச்சு இன்னைக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய கோழி பண்ணையில வச்சிருக்கிற மாதிரி வைக்காம நிலத்துல சுதந்திரமா நீங்க அதை அலைய விட்டீங்க அப்படின்னா அதுக்குன்னு அதுகளுக்கு மட்டுமே ஒரு 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 வகையான வடிவமைப்புகள் இருக்கு. அது பிரகாரம் பாத்தீங்கன்னா ஏதாவது நீங்க உணவா இருந்தோம் ஏதாவது தூங்குறீங்க அப்படின்னா அந்த அந்த கோழிகளுக்கு மத்தியில யாரு பெரிய கோழியோ யார் அந்த கோழி தான் முதல்ல போய் எடுக்கும், அதுக்கடுத்து ரெண்டாவது கோழி இருக்கும், அந்த ரெண்டாவது கோழி தான் முதல் அடுத்து போய் சாப்பிடும், மூணாவது கோழி தான் அடுத்து போய் சாப்பிடும். இப்படி அதுங்களுக்கு நடுவுல
So this system set up by Krishna is just recognizing that there will be gradations in human society.
மனித சமுதாயத்தை இந்த இந்த வழிமுறையானது கிருஷ்ணனால அமைக்கப்பட்டிருக்கு. எதற்காக அப்படின்னா மனிதர்களுக்கு மத்தியில ஏற்றத்தாழ்வு இருக்கும் அப்படிங்கறதுனாலதான்.
However hard you try, however idealistic you may be, there won't be equality.
எவ்வளவுதான் நீங்க கடினமா முயற்சி செஞ்சாலும் எவ்வளவுதான் நீங்க கொள்கை பிடிப்போட இருந்தாலும் நீங்க வந்து சமத்துவம் அப்படிங்கறது சாத்தியமில்லை.
There always be a ruling class and a ruled class.
எப்பவுமே அங்க வந்து ஆட்சி செய்யக்கூடியவர்கள் ஆட்சி செய்யப்படுபவர்கள் அப்படின்னு ரெண்டு பிரிவினை இருந்துட்டு தான் இருக்காங்க.
And in Vedic culture there's apart from the ruling class and the ruled class there's the independent class, that means the brahmanas. They're neither rulers nor ruled.
வேத கலாச்சாரத்துல பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா ஆட்சி செய்பவர்கள் ஆட்சி செய்யப்படுபவர்கள் இந்த ரெண்டு பிரிவினர்களுக்கும் அப்பால புத்திசாலி பிரிவினர்கள் இருந்தாங்க ராவண பிரிவினர். அவங்க ஆட்சி செய்யறதும் கிடையாது ஆட்சி செய்யப்படுபவர்களும் கிடையாது.
Yeah, Prabhupada would often say they're an intelligent class, but actually all are intelligent in different ways.
Prabhupada அவர்கள் வந்து புத்திசாலி பிரிவினர் அப்படின்னு சொல்லுவார். இருந்தாலும் ஒரு விதத்தை பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா எல்லாருமே புத்திசாலிகள் தான் அவங்களுடைய நிலையில.
See the someone of Shudra type, he may be making some instrument, some musical instrument. The others can't do. He has the intelligence to do that.
Now, Bhagavan says, Shudra Privyachalavan, Aungay Rado Rishaykariyai Erpatalam, Vaitalam, Aad Makkala Rado Sayyamiyamaklam, Aungay Rado Sayyamiyamaklam, Erpatalam.
They can be very intelligent also, like in administration. In administration, that means not the leader, but doing the bureaucratic work. In Bengal, they're called the Kayasta class.
Used to be.
Karan. I believe that's in Hindi. Karan. I think that's the Sanskrit word also. Karana, maybe Kayasta sounds like Sanskrit also. So they're also, they can be Ramananda Rai, he was the ruling all of the South Indian kingdom of Prataparudra Maharaj.
Ramananda Rai, Prataparudra Maharaj's keela, Tenindia Pothigalai Aaji Seidhukondirundar.
He was considered a Shudra because he wasn't actually in charge, but he was administrator.
அவர் வந்து அங்க தலைவர் கிடையாது, அவர் பொறுப்பாளி கிடையாது, ஆனா அவர் நிர்வாகம் பண்ணிட்டு இருந்தார், அவர் சூத்திரராக கருதப்பட்டவர்.
So Brahmana means intelligent, but especially for spiritual subject matters.
பிராமணன் அப்படிங்கிறவன் புத்திசாலி அப்படின்னு அழைக்கப்படுறான். புத்திசாலி அப்படின்னா ஆன்மீக விஷயத்துல புத்திசாலியா இருக்கக்கூடியவன் குறிப்பாங்க.
So this Charto Varnang Varnyang Maya Srishtam, Krishna says this is created by me, this system. But it became, instead of a system of cooperation, social cooperation for serving Krishna, it became an oppressive caste system.
காலப்போக்கில் ஒருத்தரொருத்தர் வந்து காரணத்தால ஒரு அடக்குமுறையை கொண்ட ஜாதி முறையா மாறிடுச்சு.
And therefore different people started to protest about this.
அதனாலதான் பல்வேறு மக்கள் இதற்கு எதிராக போராட்டம் தெரிவிக்க ஆரம்பிச்சாங்க.
Now it's very well known that Mahatma Gandhi, as he's known, was again, he wanted to uplift what he called the Harijans.
எல்லாருக்கும் தெரியும் மகாத்மா காந்தி அவருக்கு அப்படி அழைக்கிறாங்க அவருடைய பேர்ல. அவர் எல்லா சமுதாய மக்களையும் மேலே கொண்டு வரணும்னு நினைச்சார். அந்த கீழ்த்தட்டுல இருக்கக்கூடிய மக்களுக்கு அவர் ஹரிஜன் கூப்பிட்டார்.
He gave this term ஹரிஜன்.
Otherwise, the term previously was aspritya, untouchable. And actually, there was a reason for that also. Because people who are dealing just like the chandal, they'll be dealing in dead bodies, and the chamar is taking the dead bodies. So, someone who's doing the puja, he shouldn't touch such people. But Mahatma Gandhi, he changed the term to Harijan. Harijan means, well, it's easy to understand what it means. It's a person of God. So just changing the name didn't change their status. In America, they used to call the people who had come from Africa Negroes or niggers. Then they changed it to black. Then to colored. Then people of color. Now it's Afro-American. I'm not sure. They keep on changing it, but it doesn't change the perception. It just changes the word. That's all. Then they had what are called cripples or spastics. Then they changed that to physically handicapped. No, physically handicapped came first. Because cripple or spastic was used as an insult. I know as a kid in school, if you want to insult someone, you call them a spastic. So then they started calling them physically handicapped, and then that became a pejorative term. Then they changed it to physically challenged. And the last time I gave this lecture is called physically challenged, but now it's called people with different abilities. Something like that. Differently abled, something like that. And then they'll think up something else. So the euphemisms are unlimited. So Harijan, now they change that to Dalit. All followers of Hiranyakashipu. Dalita Hiranyakashipu. And all our devotees sing Dalita Hiranyakashipu. That means it's Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. And Narahari Rupa, that means it's a fight between a lioness and Mrs. Hiranyakashipu.
Narahari Rupa, Abrina, or Pen Singhataku, Dalita Hiranyakashipu, or Hiranyakashipu, Manarikum, Pen Singhataku, Nadu, Sunday, Abrina, Arthamai.
They say Dalit here also? Yeah, it's imported from North India that time. So,
Yeah, Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted that the Harijans can enter the temple. They have their own temple even before that, where they worship some deities who they can offer the animal sacrifice to, like that. So now everyone can enter. Still not in Puri. I can't go. Maybe the Indian Harijans can go, but I can't go because I'm a non-Indian Harijan or non-Indian Dalit or whatever. But still, if you go to Tirupati, Tirumalai, you'll find it's not these Dalits, they're not going. It's still the same people who used to go. There's also, so Mahatma Gandhi, that was his idea. But actually he wasn't against the system of Chaturvarna. But he wanted to take out the oppression. And others, they also had this idea. We were just discussing about this Dr. Ambedkar. He was himself from this, what they call, untouchable background, but he had a university degree from London or something like
this.
So he wanted to stop this unnecessary persecution or suppression of people just because of their birth. And this Periyar, you were also saying, he also had the same idea to stop this. So both of them, when they came up against such opposition from the Hindu orthodoxy, that they both rebelled against it. How would you say that in Hindi? Yeah. There is a word in Bengali, not much used, which I can't remember. Goro or something like that. Maybe there's no such word, means the... That they both rebelled. Ambedkar became a Buddhist, which means he reject the Vedic culture. And Buddhism, actually, way back, Buddha rejected the Vedic culture. And said that no caste. But still you'll find everywhere in Buddhist society there's hierarchy also. Everywhere. It's not possible to avoid. And this Periyar, he rejected Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita promotes caste system, we reject Bhagavad Gita. It means they're not thinking very deeply or understanding very deeply. That even something good, if misapplied, becomes bad.
ஒரு விஷயம் நல்லதா இருந்தா கூட அந்த நல்ல விஷயத்தை ஒழுங்கா உபயோகிக்கிற அப்படின்னா அது கெட்டதா மாறிடுது.
Even this system is given by Krishna, but if misapplied, it becomes a source of sorrow.
இந்த வழிமுறை வந்து கிருஷ்ணனால கொடுக்கப்பட்டது, கிருஷ்ணனால கொடுக்கப்பட்டிருந்தாலும் அதை ஒழுங்காக வந்து செயல்படுத்தல அப்படின்னா அப்ப அது துன்பத்திற்கு காரணமா மாறிடுது.
So the one of Srila Prabhupada's major objectives, of course, was to reintroduce actual varnashram, daivi varnashram, daiva varnashram.
Srila Prabhupada's palveru kurikkalla oru kurikkal enna appadina maruthi varnashramatha nilanattam, adu sadhara varnashramatha daivi varnashramatha nilanattam
nanachu. Otherwise all these man made systems, they create so many problems.
இல்ல அப்படின்னா இந்த மனிதர்களால் உருவாக்கப்பட்டிருக்கக்கூடிய இந்த அமைப்புகள் எல்லாம் பல்வேறு விதமான பிரச்சனைகளுக்கு கொடுக்கக்கூடியதா இருக்கு.
So much disturbance in human society.
மனித சமுதாயத்தில் எவ்வளவு பிரச்சனைகள் இதனால உருவெடுக்குது.
In modern society, everyone is involved in politics, political consciousness.
நவீன காலத்தை பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா எல்லாருமே இந்த அரசியல்ல மூழ்கி கிடக்குறாங்க.
Formerly that was just for the Kshatriyas.
முன்னாடி பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா அது சத்திரியர்களுக்கு மட்டும்தான் அந்த அரசியல் பத்தி.
Now everyone is in political consciousness.
இப்ப எல்லாருமே பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா அரசியல் உணர்வோட செயல்படுறாங்க.
The Kshatriyas, they would be fighting each other, and the farmer would be plowing his field in the next field. He doesn't care who wins. Whoever wins the fight, he has to give his some amount of grain, that's all. Doesn't bother him at all.
சத்திரியர்கள் பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா அவங்க ஒரு நிலத்துல இருந்து போர் சண்டை போட்டு ஒரு விவசாயி பக்கத்துல சண்டை போடுற இடத்துக்கு பக்கத்திலே இருக்கக்கூடிய நிலத்துல வந்து அவன் பாட்டு விழுந்து இருப்பான். ஏன்னா இவங்க சண்டை போட்டு என்ன முடிவு இருந்தாலும் யார் ராஜா வர்றாங்களோ அவங்களுக்கு நான் வந்து கட்ட வேண்டிய கப்பத்தை கட்டணும், அவ்வளவுதான்.
Democracy in India means that everyone is, each party is trying to turn people against each other.
ஆனா ஜனநாயகத்தை பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா ஒவ்வொரு கட்சியும் மக்களை வந்து அவங்களுக்கு எதிராக எந்த கட்சி இருக்கோ அந்த கட்சிக்கு எதிராக திருப்பணும் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி முயற்சி பண்ணிட்டு இருக்காங்க.
And more than making policies for the betterment of the people, the politicians, they're just criticizing each other.
மக்களுக்கு நன்மை பயக்கக்கூடிய கொள்கைகளை, மக்களுக்கு நன்மை பயக்கக்கூடிய திட்டங்களை நிறைவேற்றதை காட்டிலும் ஒரு கட்சிக்காரன் இன்னொரு கட்சிக்காரன் திட்டத்துலதான் நிறைய நேரத்தை செலவு பண்றாங்க.
We don't know what they're going to do, what their program is. All we know is that they're criticizing everyone else.
அவங்க என்ன மக்களுக்கு செய்ய போறாங்க அப்படிங்கறத பேசறது காட்டோம். நமக்கு என்ன தெரியும்னா ஒருத்தர் இன்னொருத்தர் பத்தி என்ன சொல்றோம் அப்படிங்கறத நமக்கு அதிகமா தெரியும். மக்களுக்கு செய்ய போறது அதிகமா தெரியும்.
And dividing one group against another.
ஒரு குழு ஒரு கட்சி இன்னொரு கட்சிக்கு எதிராக திருப்புறது இந்த மாதிரி செயல்தான் நம்ம நடந்துருக்காங்க.
So democracy is a failure.
அதனால ஜனநாயகம் அப்படிங்கறது ஒரு தோல்வி.
This communism is a failure.
In the communism or totally.
Srila Prabhupada, he saw the fault in the rigid caste system, but he didn't reject it on principle.
Srila Prabhupada inda kandipa irukkura inda jaathi murayila irukkura kutrathai avar paathar ana adi adude adipadaiya avar undu niragirikkavillai.
But he knew it can only be possible if people are united on the platform of service to Krishna.
ஆனா அவருக்கு தெரியும் இது எப்போ முறையா சாத்தியம் அப்படினா கிருஷ்ணருக்கு சேவை பண்றது அப்படிங்கற தலத்துல இவங்க எல்லாரும் ஒண்ணா இணையும் போது மட்டும்தான்.
Svai svai kamanya bharata sang siddhim labhate naraha. That everyone by performing their own different kinds of work, they can achieve the supreme perfection.
ஒவ்வொருத்தரும் அவங்களுக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய கடமைகளை, வேறுபட்ட கடமைகளை நிறைவேற்றுவதன் மூலமாக முழுமுதல் கடவுளை திருப்தி செய்து பக்குவ நிலை அடையலாம்.
ஸ்வகர்மணா தமாப்யாச பை பெர்ஃபார்மிங் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் வொர்க் ஒன் ஷுட் வர்ஷிப் கிருஷ்ண.
ஒவ்வொருத்தரும் தத்தமது கடமையை செய்து கிருஷ்ணரை வழிபடணும்.
So vanashram is not the goal of life. But if properly established, it makes the best social organization for pursuing the goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness.
ஆனால் இத வந்து நம்ம முறையா வடிவமைத்து ஏற்பாடு பண்ணோம் அப்படின்னா இது நம்மளுடைய வாழ்க்கைக்கு உண்மையான குறிக்கோள் என்னவோ அந்த குறிக்கோளை செயல்படுத்துவதற்கு தகுந்த சூழ்நிலையை ஏற்படுத்தி கொடுக்கும். அந்த குறிக்கோள் கிருஷ்ணவர்கள்.
So many people they think, oh, Bhagavad Gita, that's promoting casteism, very bad. But they don't know actually what Krishna says in Gita. So you should, if they protest like this, you should show them this verse, chapter 4, text 13. That it's by guna and karma, not by janma, that the division is made. That there should be division in human society, but not rigidly by birth. This Varnashram is also, the role of Varnashram in Vaishnav life is also commonly misunderstood right within our Gauriya Sampradaya. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said eho bhajya, this Varnashram, it's external, it's not, it's got nothing to do directly with bhakti. Bhakti is beyond Varnashram. We don't see this person is a Brahmin Vaishnav, this one is a Shudra Vaishnav. To think like that is offensive. A Vaishnava is just by the intention to serve Krishna. A Vaishnava is above the position of a Brahmana. He may have the disposition of a Shudra. But because his goal of life is to serve Krishna, he's better than a non-Vaishnava Brahmana. Please don't step over the, this is all the conscience. All this is for serving the Lord. You shouldn't step over anything actually except the floor. Actually, we shouldn't even step on the earth because she's our mother, but what to do? Just like the baby in the arms of the mother is kicking the mother, she tolerates. So a Brahmana is supposed to study Shastra and to seek after the ultimate reality, Brahma. But one who worships Krishna as the goal of their life, even without being a big philosopher or without knowing all, without following all the different rules of purity and cleanliness, is already situated in the perfectional position. So bhakti is beyond Varnashram. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Varnashram is external to bhakti.
But that doesn't mean that devotees don't follow Varnashram. Because there has to be some form of social organization. And if the whole society, everyone's a Vaishnava, then still someone will have to be a leader and someone else will have to be in the role of a servant. That will be there. And another point is that even though bhakti is beyond Varnashram, it doesn't mean that everyone who takes to bhakti is immediately beyond Varnashram. Because we take to bhakti, but we have so many material desires and impurities. So Varnashram is a system to regulate our activities in such a way that we don't fall down into grossly sinful life, animalistic life. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, there's the, Krishna says, my devotee, even though, what's that, Yava, do you know that verse? Can you look that up? How does it begin? I can't remember at all now. As long as a devotee is trying to be perfect but still has material desires, should follow the Varnashram system until he's completely perfect. Yavad Kurvita, what is it? Kurvita?
K-U-R-V-I-T-O.
Should come in the 11th canto. And all the Vaishnava Acharyas, Gauriya and non-Gauriya, they also uphold that. So there are two considerations. The Vaishnava is above Varnashram, but still there's following of it. But following it with the understanding that it's a social arrangement, that not that because someone's in a Brahmin family they're automatically better than someone from a lower family. No, it's in Bhagavatam, 11th canto. We find, well, there's one of the Alvas, he was the priest, who is that? They wouldn't allow him in the temple, and then he was on the other side of the Kaveri. Tell the story. He was on the other side of the Kaveri, and Bhagavan wouldn't let the temple be opened until the priest carried him on his back. You can tell the story? Yeah, tell it in English and then we can. Well, that's the basis of it, that he was supposed to be chanda, lower class or something like this.
He was part of family.
From a potter family, Shudra family. So they also make the pots for the puja.
Yeah, but he was in meditation, singing of the Lord.
He was singing the Lord's glories on the other side of the Kaveri.
He was in the ghat singing the glories of the Lord, and puja, he wanted to take water. He asked him to move the side, but he was not listening. He was so
absorbed,
chanting, absorbed in chanting. And the puja, he was also devotee, but he didn't understand his higher status. So he, just to chase him off, he thrown stone, and he then he came to realization, and then he begged the forgiveness, he gave away. And Pujari took the water and went to the temple, but the door was closed.
No, then he couldn't, he had to carry, he had to go back and carry him on his shoulder. Then only the Lord let it be open.
Yeah, say it in Tamil. What is it? Oh, it's an important verse. What is it? Yavad Karamani Karamani K-A-R-M-A-N-I. Then Sripad Ramanuja himself, when his wife was insulting his guru because from a supposed to be from a Shudra family, then he took sannyas in protest against his wife. But sannyas is also within Varnashram. So he didn't reject Varnashram. But he rejected the offensive misunderstanding of it. So it's very important to understand that we don't reject Varnashram, but that bhakti is above that. Now, what happened in our Gauriya Sampradaya is there a class of people who they say, well, we don't need any Varnashram. We're transcendental to all of that. So it's easy to say, but not easy to be. We're all transcendental to Varnashram. You just can't be transcendental just by wishful thinking. So we're transcendental, therefore we can mix all men and women together, and it made a big mess. By thinking that we're transcendental to all of these considerations, that we don't see the body, therefore we don't see any differences between men and women, we all mix up together, and guess what? After some time, there's the abortion clinics getting a lot of business. Of course, previously there weren't abortion clinics, it used to be done quietly on the side. Generally, the widows of Bengal, they would go to Vrindavan or Navadvip and become Vaishnavis. And they would mix with the transcendental Babajis. And then a whole new jat came out of that called Boshtam, which is a upper branch of Vaishnav, Boshtam. So Vaishnav came to be known in Bengal as the worst class of people. They didn't follow the perverse system of Varnashram. But instead they had a perverse system of non-Varnashram. So bhakti is transcendental to Varnashram, no doubt. But this should be stated in such a manner that people do not understand it and do not try to artificially act on the platform transcendental to Varnashram. Generally in the modern age, people they think that traditional societies were very oppressive. There was no freedom like in the modern age. That's true. And there was some quality in that also. Nowadays people have the freedom to do what they like, and what are they doing? They're becoming degraded. In traditional societies, men and women mixing was very restricted. With the understanding that Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavameta Tayoraho Hridaya Grantimahuhu, that the attraction between male and female is the binding principle in material existence. So the modern idea is, oh, we don't bother with all that. Just, you know, let everyone be free. The result is a social disaster. Divorce, abortion, contraception, broken families, this is just considered normal. The idea that women should be, shyness. What is that? Lajan Nari Bhushanam? That's just not there at all. This 2-3 years ago, I saw some newspaper in England, one photo, and it was horrible. It was, I just turned the page, there was this photo of this all-woman's jazz band at some concert. Jazz is some kind of extremely, is rajas kam tamas guna kind of music. It's it's something like Nada Swaram gone wrong or something like that. The saxophone is the central instrument. Like electric guitar is the central instrument in rock music, so the saxophone, which is a kind of perverse reflection of the Nada Swaram, that is in the jazz music.
Jazz
saxophone or trumpet, mostly sax.
Saxophone, yeah. எலக்ட்ரிக் கிட்டார் வந்து ராக் மியூசிக்ல முக்கியமான பங்கு வகிக்குதோ அது மாதிரி இந்த
Anyway, you don't know about all this. This is all Western so-called culture. The king of Thailand plays a saxophone, if you're interested. What kind of king is that? So there's two of them. All of them had short skirts, the three in the photo, of course. Two of them were playing saxophone, one was singing in the microphone. And they all had this look like they're all completely charged with 20,000 volts going through them. It's the most, as far away from anything feminine possible. And this is considered to be the victory for women, that now they can degrade themselves in public. And no one will even think it's degraded.
இது வந்து பெண்களுக்கு கிடைச்ச ஒரு வெற்றியா நினைக்கிறாங்க பொதுமக்கள் மத்தியில் அவங்க தங்களுடைய நிலை இந்த அளவு கீழ்த்தரமாக இறங்கிறத வெற்றி
நினைக்கிறாங்க And probably in the West, if I said this, I could get arrested for saying it also. Or if not, at least some women or men also may come and like slap me in the face, literally. And quite possibly in our ISKCON temple also, because they also believe in all these things. Because we're transcendental. So we don't need all these old oppressive ideas. It's a completely different outlook on life, that control is required because we have uncontrolled mind and senses. And just by saying, well, now I'm doing bhakti, that doesn't, all of a sudden, you become transcendental to the need for varnashram. So this is a great misunderstanding. There's a famous conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with some of his leading disciples in which he was stressing, now we must introduce Varnashram colleges in all our centers.
Srila Prabhupada prabalama oru ஒரு நிகழ்ச்சி இருக்கு ஒரு உரையாடல் இருக்கு அவருடைய அவருடைய மூத்த சிஷ்யர்களோட அவர் நடந்த உரையாடல் அதுல பிரபுபா சொல்றார் இப்ப நம்ம நம்மளுடைய எல்லா கோயில்லையும் வர்ணாசிரம கல்லூரிய நிறுவனம்
அப்படின்னு And devotees said, well, Prabhupada, aren't devotees transcendental to Varnashram?
அப்ப பிரபுபாதிட்ட பக்தர்கள் கேக்குறாங்க பக்தர்கள் வர்ணாசிரமத்துக்கு அப்பாற்பட்டவங்க இல்லையா?
And Prabhupada said, if they are transcendental, why are they falling down? So-and-so sannyasi had several girlfriends. This was in the early
1970s.
So, this is just realistic, that's all. So, definitely we should not give the impression that we're trying to introduce some caste system. But at the same time, Vaishnavism, there are many rules. There are many rules specific to bhakti. such as one should chant the holy names, one should apply this tilak. And there are many rules which are specific to Varnashram also. So devotees don't necessarily follow all the Varnashram rules. Or they may not follow them in exactly the same way as non-devotees do. For instance, when a Vaishnav, say your father passes away, then at least in our Gauriya Sampradaya, it's not compulsory to shave your head. And all this idea of offering Shraddh, then you just call devotees and have kirtan and offer some prasadam and feed the Vaishnavas. There's no need to call all these smarter priests and all this thing. But there is, as I see it, there's a very deep misconception among our devotees from the West that everything, and many in India also, actually most of the devotees everywhere, all over the world, they share the same misconception that more or less everyone all over the world shares, that modern Western culture is the apex of human civilization.
பொதுவா வெளியில இருக்கக்கூடிய மக்கள் எந்த விஷயத்தை நம்பிட்டிருக்காங்களோ அதே விஷயத்தை நம்பிட்டிருக்காங்க. அது என்னன்னா, மேற்கத்திய கலாச்சாரமானது மனித சமுதாயத்தினுடைய பண்பாட்டினுடைய உயர்ந்த தளத்துக்கு வந்திருக்கிறது தான் மேற்கத்திய கலாச்சாரம் அப்படிங்கிற ஒரு தவறான எண்ணம் எல்லார பத்திலயும் இருக்கு.
I mean everyone knows, they learned it at school, right?
எல்லாரும் இதை வந்து தெரிஞ்சு வச்சிருக்காங்க, ஏன்னா அதான் பள்ளிக்கூடத்துல படிக்கிறாங்க. மேற்கத்திய கலாச்சாரம் இப்ப இருக்கிறது தான் வந்து உயர்ந்த ஸ்தானம் உண்டு, உயர்ந்த நாகரிகம் உண்டு.
See, first of all, there was nothing. Then there was a very big bang. We don't know exactly how it came because there was nothing, but then there was a big bang. Then everything cooled down. And there was a big soup on earth. And then it cooled down a bit. Then there were some microbes. You know, all by chance. I forgot to say that. All by chance. Then the microbes became a little bigger. And they crawled onto the land. This is science. And then they became lizards. Some of them became very big and they got called dinosaurs. Some of them turned into monkeys. By chance, of course. I mean, you do see lizards sometimes turning into monkeys by chance. Not very often. And then some of the monkeys saw their fruits on the trees. So they stood up to get them. And when they stood up, they became human beings. No, don't laugh. It's in the. I read this in the Encyclopedia Britannica. So this is authorized knowledge. And then they're all uncivilized human beings, like in India. Talking very backward kinds of languages like Sanskrit and Tamil. Meanwhile, over in England, there were great personalities coming out, like Henry VIII. Never heard of Henry VIII? Half your life is wasted. He rejected the Catholic Church, made his own church, had 8 wives, killed 7 of them, one after the other. And then by natural selection, it's all going on by natural selection. Don't ask what that means, it's all achintya. One group of chemicals selects something. It's all chemicals, you see. So. Then came Charles Darwin. Darwin aya namaha. Such a great personality. He discovered that our forefathers were all monkeys. And then after that, so many great personalities came out. Like Albert Einstein. Actually, he was an Austrian Jew. I think probably they didn't find out his forefathers must have been English. German, you can say German. For you, it's all the same. I mean, only the best people, they only actually come from England. So like that, all the best, of course, some of the English people went to America, that's why it's such a great country. And everything in India, especially, is completely useless. So, you all know that already. I didn't need to tell you that. You all know that already. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But actually, I mean, if you put it in that kind of sarcastic way, it sounds stupid. It is stupid. But most people believe that everything from the West is better. In India also, they say, now we have factories. Now we're becoming advanced. Maybe the British will actually recognize us at some point in time. One of the great moments in modern Indian history, Amartya Sen got a Nobel Prize. The Western people gave him a prize for being so intelligent. Come on, you should know his name. No, really, you should, because if you're talking with educated people in India, they all know him. I guess the Bengalis liked it more, but everyone, right? Everyone knows. It's how many years ago? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Got a Nobel Prize for his 95. Was it so long ago? 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Anyway, it's just an example how the Indians think. So This is actually a very dangerous way of thinking, because the whole Western civilization is based on sense gratification. And philosophically, it's in very, I mean, it's just no, it's very, very bad condition. Western philosophy is based on Christian misconceptions. To simplify the history of Western philosophy, there was a man created by God. He got lonely. So God created a woman also. Then they add an apple. And we've been suffering ever since. So then God got a little kind and came in human form. He was killed. God got killed. Then he came back to life again. And if you believe it, then you go to heaven. And what you do in heaven is you look down and laugh at all the people suffering in hell for eternity. Which is most of the people, because God only saves those who believe, who are bathed in the blood of Jesus. So that's this idea is the main idea in Western philosophy. And everything else is a protest against it. The Indian philosophy or this begins with Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of spiritual reality. Actually, it's not really Indian, because that's also a mundane designation. But the culture that has traditionally been prominent here, we can say. But the Western world didn't even get that far yet until Prabhupada came. So we really have to learn from Prabhupada. Otherwise, our Western devotees are going to be victimized by their old ways of thinking. And our Indian devotees are also going to get influenced by their old ways of thinking. So let us try to understand from Srila Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita as it is, and present this to the people of the world, both philosophically, means by talking, and practically by living the lives of devotees. If we are also interested in sense gratification like the karmis, then how, what are we going to preach? If we think that, you see, all these groups, they have so many followers. See all the Ammas and Sri Sris and Babas, they have so many followers. Christians, so many followers. So why don't we have so many followers? We should make it easy for people.
See, don't tell them, don't watch TV. You can eat, well, it should be preferably vegetarian. When you're buying something in the shop, don't look at the list of ingredients too closely, if it has a list of ingredients. Contraception, nothing wrong with that. We don't even talk about it. It's just, I mean, everyone does it, right? Can't be anything wrong with it. And if your unmarried daughter forgets to use the contraceptive when she's with her boyfriend, well, there's a nice abortion clinic around the corner. So, you know, we just want people to be devotees. So these rules, they're just for old-fashioned people. So maybe you can increase the number of followers in this way. Maybe. But what is the value, actually? I mean, the Sai Baba people, Sri Sri, they also chant Krishna's names. You see, they'll call their child Sai Ram, something like this. So we can do like that also. But what is the use? At least that wasn't Prabhupada's program. Srila Prabhupada's program was Ekas Chandras Tamohanti Kingna Tara Sahasrashaha. One moon is better than millions of stars. So we don't just, of course, we want to preach to the masses also. That's why Rath Yatra is big temples, so that people are attracted to come. But we should not sacrifice our philosophy and principles just so we can get more, get more and more people. Hare Krishna. Any questions, please? No. That's Bhaktivinoda, is it? No. You can read that anyway. That's Bengali. That's a translation of the verse which I'm looking for. It's not exactly. It's not almost the same. It says sadhana kale, but the verse in the Bhagavatam is more broad. I'll find it afterward. Well, yeah, I guess it. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's a translation of the Sanskrit. Yavat kurvita karmani. I'll find it afterwards. I should learn that verse. Yeah, any question? That should be Shadana Kale J Purjanto, Bengali translation, pronunciation. Paryanta is a Sanskrit word, commonly used in Bengali, pronounced Purjanto. It means like tab tak. Paryanta, it means like that, yeah. No, it can't be that. Pari anta. Parjanto. Ah.
Nowadays, now some organizations, they teach in path of leading. So, what is the art of living?
The art of, what is the art of living? That's the question. I don't know what they're teaching. Their art of living is charging 6,000 rupees for a seminar. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yoga Karma Su Kaushalam. So that's the art of living, if you like. Yoga. Nowadays people think yoga means some exercises. But that's not the meaning we find in Bhagavad Gita. And nor even if we see the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, it's not all about exercises. What does he say? Chitta Nivritti, Yoga Chitta Nirodha. That's in the Yoga Sutras. It says yoga means stopping the consciousness, but that's a misnomer also, because you can't stop it anyway. So, Hare Krishna, you have a question? Yeah? Have you ever heard anyone say that?
He says that you don't know or I don't know. Krishna knows how advanced he is by his previous birth. So he doesn't.
Someone says, I'm very advanced in my previous birth, therefore I don't need to follow Varnashram. Only he and Krishna knows. No devotee talks like this. None of our acharyas, who are actually the most advanced devotees, they never speak like this. No Vaishnava speaks like that. I'm so advanced. It's completely against the whole Vaishnava way of thinking to even think of saying that. Oh, I see. He's saying about someone else. There may be cases of devotees who are so advanced that they don't follow Varnashram. But they are recognized by other recognized devotees. We have the examples of Gaurkishor Das Babaji, Vamsi Das Babaji. But there's one rule, major rule of Varnashram, which they strictly followed. They never associated with women. Nityananda Avadhut, he didn't follow all these things. So it's, but those who are acting as acharyas, they follow strictly for the sake of teaching others. We should be very careful of it. Just like Sai Baba, he never said, I am Bhagawan, but he let his followers call him Bhagawan. So it's a roundabout way. He hears them every day singing Venkatesha Suprabhatam. How is that? No, the last line, the refrain goes there. They change the name and they put his name. Anyway, they change the name and put his name. And he hears it every morning and he doesn't say anything.
Over
So he doesn't call himself Bhagavan. It's like smoking ganja through someone else's hand. So when someone accuses you, they say, "No, no, I don't, not me." See, in my hand there's no smell of ganja. So all cheating. Yeah. Now, even before the start of Kali Yuga, there were, toward the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the Duryodhana, he was an example. Even always there'll be bad elements. I mean, Varnashram, there's never any time where everything in Varnashram is going to be completely perfect, because it's a system for the material world. But it's most applicable in Treta Yuga and Dwarpa Yuga. Prior to that, there's not so much need for social organization. In Satya Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, it just becomes a mess. Then? Well, he was, the Pandavas would always refer to Karna as Sutaputra. Because his conscious, I mean his pravritti, his tendency was to be like a kshatriya, but his consciousness was, it was not, see, kshatriya is not just a matter of being a fighter, but one has to give shelter to the citizens. One has to not pick unnecessary fights. It's not just that he's some kind of big bully who goes out and beats people up because he's stronger than them.
Karnan, or Kshatriya Subhav irundhal kuda Pandavaram vandu Kshatriyana yetrukollavillai ena
So in his attitude of supporting Duryodhana and opposing Krishna and the Pandavas, Karna was definitely very low class.
Karnan, Duryodhana aadharam koduthu Krishnarukkum Pandavarukkum edhirppu theriyikkudi andha manapaamiliye Karnanudaiya vandu romba keerthramana abdingaradha unarlam.
He was not fit to be recognized as a proper kshatriya.
Oru muriyana kshatriya appadina angeekkapadradhukku thaguriyavan kedaiyadhu.
It's not just because someone has a big strong body and they can fight that they should be considered a kshatriya. There has to be a quality of consciousness also. Yeah, what's your question? Yeah. Where do kshatriyas fit in the modern age?
சத்திரியர்கள் எப்படி நவீன காலத்துல அவங்களை எப்படி எந்த இடத்துல போடுறது? ஏன்னா அவர் கேட்கிறார், நம்ம இந்த வர்ணாசிரமத்தை நல்லபடி நிலைநாட்டணும் அப்படின்னா பிராமணர்களை உருவாக்கிடலாம், வைசியர்களை உருவாக்கலாம், சூத்திரர்களை உருவாக்கலாம், ஆனா சத்திரியர்களை எப்படி உருவாக்குறது? அவங்களுக்கு நவீன கால கருவிகள்லாம் நம்ம உபயோகிக்கணுமான்னு கேட்கிறாரு.
You might see that the role of kshatriyas in protecting by fighting has been nullified by modern weapons.
நீங்க நினைக்கலாம், ஒரு சத்திரியனாலும் மக்களை காப்பாற்ற வேண்டும் அப்படிங்கிற அந்த பணியானது நவீன காலத்தில் இருக்கக்கூடிய கருவியினால அந்த பணி இல்லாம போயிடுச்சு அப்படின்னு.
In modern America, a man goes to work in the morning, leaves his house, and then goes to the army base, or goes to the, he's living on the army base. He goes to the office, looks on the computer, presses a few buttons, and that activates a few missiles which kill people way off in Afghanistan. And then he goes home for lunch, then he comes back again and kills a few more people. And that's not a kshatriya.
சில பட்டன் அழுத்துறாங்க, அந்த பட்டன் அழுத்தினரையும் சில ஏவுகணைகள் வந்து ஆப்கானிஸ்தான் உழுது, அங்கிருந்து ஒரு சில பேரை கொண்டாடுறோம், கொண்டுட்டு அவர் மத்தியானம் மதிய உணவு வரா சாப்பிட்றா, சாப்பிட்டு போய் மறுபடியும் வந்து பட்டன் அழுத்தி எதனையோ மக்களை போடுறோம். இதுதான் ஒரு சத்தியனுடைய பணி நம்ம நினைக்கலாம்.
ஸோ இன் தி மாடர்ன் ஏஜ் தி எக்ஸாக்ட் ஃபங்க்ஷன் ஆஃப் எ க்ஷத்ரியா மே நாட் பி எக்ஸாக்ட்லி தி சேம் அஸ் இட் வாஸ் 5000 இயர்ஸ் அகோ.
அதனால நவீன காலத்துல ஒரு சத்திரியனுடைய பணி என்ன அப்படிங்கிறது 5000 வருஷத்துக்கு முன்னாடி எப்படி ஒரு சத்திரியனுடைய பணி இருந்தது அதே மாதிரி இருக்கணும் அப்படிங்கிறதுக்கு அவசியம்
இல்லை. Still there are people of kshatriya mentality, although it's become perverted by the whole modern way of thinking and society.
நவீன கால சமுதாயத்துல மக்கள் எப்படி யோசிக்கிறாங்க அப்படிங்கறது குறித்து மாறி இருந்தா கூட இன்னைக்கு கூட சில பேர் சத்திரிய சுபாவத்தோடு இருக்கிறத நம்ம பார்க்கிறோம்.
We'll find in the Indian army there are many Sikhs and Gurkhas.
நாம பார்க்கறோம் இந்திய ராணுவத்துல கூட நிறைய பேர் வந்து அந்த சீக்கியர்களும் குர்கர்களும் நிறைய பேர் இருக்காங்க.
Then from Gujarat the Jadejas, they're also kshatriya by caste. They like to join the army.
குஜராத்ல பார்த்தோம்னா ஜடேஜா பிரிவை சார்ந்தவர்கள் அவங்களும் வந்து ராணுவத்தை சேர்றதுக்கு ஆசைப்படுறாங்க, ஏன்னா அவங்களுடைய ஜாதி அந்த மாதிரி.
Some of the best fighters, they're typical traditional fighters, but they're not officially kshatriyas. The jats in North India, they're called jats in North India, they're not kshatriyas, but they're martial by their tradition. So that spirit and tendency may still be there. For fighting, but not necessarily for leading. To be a king is not necessarily the same as being this. It's not that every fighter has the swabhav of a king. According to Bhaktivedya Purnaswami, who I was listening to him speaking about this, he said that many of the fighters, they're not actually kshatriyas, they're shudras.
Bhaktivedya Purnaswami avurudaya upanyasathai na kettirukken adula avaru solrar perumalana poorvirgal sanda kodra poorvirgal avanga vandu kshatriyala irukken avanga shudrargal.
If you see there are so many lakhs and lakhs of men were assembled at Kurukshetra, I don't actually, were they all kshatriyas? I doubt it, because a kshatriya has to rule over some areas, so some of they may not all be actual kshatriyas.
பார்க்கறோம் மகாபாரத்துல நிறைய லட்சக்கணக்கான போர் வீரர்கள் குவிஞ்சத சண்டை போறதுக்காக குருக்ஷேத்திரத்துல அவங்க எல்லாருமே சத்திரியா இருப்பாங்க அப்படின்னு நமக்கு தோணல, ஏன்னா சத்திரியன் அப்படின்னா அவன் சின்ன இடமா இருந்தாலும் அதை வந்து அவன் ஆட்சி பண்ணணும், அவங்க அந்த மாதிரி ஆட்சி பண்ண மாதிரி நமக்கு தெரியல, அதனால அவங்க சூதரர்.
So kshatriya is one who can lead the people like a father, who maintains them, who naturally evokes affection from the people.
சத்ரியன் அப்படிங்கிறவன் யாரோத்தர் ஒரு தந்தையை போல தன்னுடைய மக்களை பராமரித்து பாதுகாத்து அவங்களுக்கு வேணுங்கிறத பாத்துக்கிறானோ அது மக்கள் அவன். அது மட்டும் இல்லாம அந்த ராஜா பணவன்
They may not be from Kshatriya families also, like that this Chanakya, he brought a non-Kshatriya to the throne because he saw in him the qualities, and then he became a very good king. Srila Prabhupada said, if we establish real class of brahmanas, then the others, they'll follow naturally. He also said there should be training of people in all the different occupational duties. So it is difficult to see how we can have kshatriyas with all the modern laws. Establishing varnashram is, as I see it, almost a bigger task as spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. It seemed impossible. But Srila Prabhupada was able to do it because he had great faith in the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada in one purport also said that by spreading the holy name, then also the varnashram can come up. Really, I mean, our main task is spreading Harinam, not varnashram, but varnashram is a necessary adjunct to that when it becomes bigger and bigger. Hare Krishna, we'll finish that. What's that? Okay, one question more, then we'll finish.
So we continue with karma that we are supposed to follow as a result of birth, for example, Santhya Vajanam.
Someone's asking that should we follow all the things that, well, he's asking about Sandhya Vandanam. When you come to ISKCON, should you stop doing that? One thing we should understand is that most people who do Sandhya Vandanam today, which means for the benefit of those who don't know, it means the three times a day chanting Gayatri and attendant activities.
Sandhya Vandanam abingiradhu theriyadhavukaga solran. ஒரு நாளைக்கு மூன்று தடவை காயத்ரி ஜெபம் பண்ணி அதோடு சம்பந்தம் இருக்கக்கூடிய செயல்களை செய்யறது சந்தியாவந்தனம் சொல்லப்படும்.
The whole ritual of Sandhya Vandanam takes 20 minutes to half an hour, and I doubt if anyone or very few people do the whole thing three times a day.
சந்தியாவந்தனத்தில் எல்லா சடங்குகளையும் நீங்க செய்யும் அப்படின்னா 20 நிமிஷத்துல அரை மணி நேரம் வரைக்கும் வரும். எத்தனை மக்கள் அது எல்லாத்தையும் ஒரு நாளைக்கு மூன்று தடவை பண்றாங்க அப்படிங்கறது சந்தேகத்துக்குரிய ஒன்றுதான்.
Some people born in some males born in Brahmin families, they still follow it to some extent. But especially if that's received in a smarta line, then it has no spiritual significance whatsoever. What is that? Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishvala te mata. A mantra not received in a proper sampradaya doesn't give any proper result. So that is awarded with the idea that because you are born in what is called a Brahmin family,
Therefore, you are a brahmana. So, chanting that Sandhya Vandanam just increases one's bodily concept of life. So, I don't recommend that you continue doing something which, if you're going to come to Krishna consciousness on the transcendental platform, then why continue to do something, even if it seems to be religious, which is going to perpetuate our bodily concept of life?